Let's begin with prayer. Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit here today, that he would fill each one of us, and that he would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that can perceive what you want us to know. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about what is real. Some things are really easy to understand that they're real. Right now this pulpit feels very real. It's something for me to hold on to. This body feels very real to me. Those benches feel very real to you. You're sitting on them. This world that we can see out here, the things that we can hear, the things that we can touch and taste and feel, all those things seem very, very real. But there are other things that are just as real that don't always feel quite so real to us, right? One time I was asking a man that I work with if he wanted to join us for a lunchtime Bible study. And his response was, "I don't think so. People that do that, they're so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. I'm not interested in." Sadly, there's some truth in that. Some people get so caught up in, quote, spiritual things, that they don't do the things that a truly spiritual person would do. But I think the bigger problem is that that's not that big of a deal. I think the bigger problem is that we tend to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. That all of these things around us on the earth seem so real and so, it's just so right there and so pressing and urgent that oftentimes we don't even perceive that there's a whole spiritual world around us that is just as real and possibly more important. So the physical world are the things that are tangible and concrete. They are a reality that we can touch and feel and sense through our sight and our hearing and our feeling and our taste and those senses that we have. But the thing about the physical world is that it's very, very temporary. The average lifespan in the United States is right at 80 years. That's a very short period of time. Even if you think about the amount of time that the earth has been here, 80 years is very, very, very short. But even this whole earth and all of the universe is temporary as well. Things in the physical world are people, men and women, including Jesus. He came into the physical world, which is very interesting. Other things in this physical world that we see are animals, birds, insects, all of matter around us, wood, trees, the sky, the stars, all those things are part of the physical world. And all those things are temporary, but all those things seem like sometimes the only reality, that this is what it's all about, and I've got to take care of all these things. But there's another world out there, a spiritual world. And the reason why it doesn't quite seem so real all the time is because it's not physical. It's invisible. But it is reality just as much as the physical things are that we can touch. And it's a reality that's eternal. God is a spirit. God has always existed and always will exist. He never began and he will never end. But each one of us, in addition to this physical body that we experience so vividly, also have a spirit. Our spirits began at a point in time when we were conceived, and we were created by God, but they also, from that point forward, last for an eternity. The body, about 80 years, and it's gone. The spirit continues. One day God will resurrect that body and give us a brand new one, but it's the spirit that begins and continues forever. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all spiritual beings that have always existed. In addition to them are the angels. They were created at a point in time, and they will exist forever. But they never had a physical body like us. They've always been spiritual. And then some of the angels fell, right? So there's the angels that always stayed on God's side, and then there's the angels that fell, and that is Satan and all the other angels that fell with him that we call demons today. Those things are just as real as us, just as real as the things that are physical around us. That world is out there. And we also are part of that spiritual world. Each one of us has a spirit. And that's an interesting thing. When you look at the things that exist, people are the only ones that exist in the physical and the spiritual world. We're kind of the touch point between the two. We're both physical and spiritual. And Jesus shared that with us. When he came to earth as a man, he put on a body, a physical existence, in addition to his spiritual existence that had always been. And he lived here with us for about 30 years. And he died for our sins and made it possible for us to be saved. Now, I kind of point this out just to show that these are what the two worlds are like, the physical and the spiritual. And the thing I want to talk about today is the problem that the physical world seems so much more real to us than the spiritual world does. But it's not. The spiritual world is just as real as the things that we can touch and see and hear and smell. They are equally real. The big difference is that the spiritual world lasts for eternity. Our physical existence here on this world is about 80 years, which is a very short period of time. And that's why Paul says things like, you know, the things that are happening to me in this body cannot be compared with the things that are to come, with the eternal things, because they last so much longer and they're so much better. The interesting thing, though, is that what goes on in this physical world during those 80 years is very, very important. It's the decisions that we make in our physical bodies in this world that determine our spiritual destiny, that determine our eternity, that determine our eternal reward, or our eternal damnation. So what's going on here in this physical world has a tremendous impact on the spiritual one, but it's the spiritual effect that is the most important. It is the eternal one. Things that are going on here in this world, in our life, affect eternity. And if we don't think of it in those terms, if we're just thinking about getting the job done, if we're just thinking about getting food on the table, if we're just thinking about the responsibilities I have today and tomorrow, we can live our life in such a way that we have little to no effect on eternity. That everything that we affect and do and accomplish in our life is destroyed. It all burns up. It'll all be gone. It'll only last for a short time. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, that it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's the spiritual things that are important. That's why it's such a tragedy when we get so caught up in this physical world around us that we don't even pay attention to what's going on spiritually. The spirit world is where the most important activity is happening in this world. We hear the gospel through our bodies, through our ears, our minds perceive it, but it's our spirit that is born again when we're saved. That's where the change happens. This body is still sinful, but spiritually we become a new person. That's where the important things are going on. That's where the fight is. Yet we tend to focus almost exclusively on the physical things around us. Oftentimes not even aware that such an important spiritual world is happening all around us all the time. Now, God's physical existence, on this earth only lasted for a very short period of time, right? 30-something years Jesus was here. And all the rest of the time before that and now, God has interacted with us people spiritually, not physically. But that spiritual interaction between us and God is just as real and just as intimate as the physical interaction that Jesus and the disciples had. See, because we just perceive the physical world so much, sometimes we can be kind of jealous of the disciples, right? Well, if I got to walk around with Jesus every day and listen to him teach and hear what he had to say, then it would be cool. I can't deny that it wouldn't be. But that doesn't mean that we don't have today just as real and intimate of an interaction with him. It's just that we're not paying attention. Oftentimes, Jesus would say this phrase, and you see it all through the Bible, but Jesus said it several times. He says, let those who have eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to perceive, to hear the things that I'm saying. See, it isn't that it's not there. It isn't that it's not real. It isn't that it's not intimate. It's that we don't have eyes that can see it. Spiritual eyes, not physical ones. Because those people could physically see Jesus. We don't have ears that can hear what God is saying to us, or eyes that can see what he's doing in the world around us, or a heart that can perceive how he wants us to participate in it. So that's where the real stuff happens. The scripture says that we are to live our lives walking in the Spirit, and that we're to live our lives filled with the Spirit. What this means is that God expects us to be immersed in and saturated by His Spirit and the spiritual things that He's wanting to communicate with us. Our lives should be spiritual inside and out, through and through. But oftentimes they're not. And then we look around and we wonder why we're not effective for God, why we're not experiencing the sorts of things that the Scriptures say we should experience. So let's start in Romans chapter 8. Because the thing is that the only way that we can please God is by being spiritual and perceiving the spiritual things that are going on around us and participating in them. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here's the thing. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to walk or live each moment of our days, each moment of our life, according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. According to the Spirit is according to the spiritual world. According to the flesh is according to the physical world around us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Freedom and happiness and enjoyment of life comes from living the spiritual life that came from Jesus. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We got saved because God, the Spirit, took on flesh and became physical for a point in time in order to die for our sins. So the spiritual came into the physical world in order to make it possible for us to be work in the spiritual world like we're supposed to. And He did all of that. See, Jesus died on the cross not just so that we could be in heaven one day. It says here in verse 4 that He died on the cross so that we might be those who walk according to the flesh, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, so that we could live now the spiritual life, not just when we get to heaven. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that's the very thing that we've just been talking about. Our minds tend to be constantly set on the things of the flesh, the things of the world around us. And that's an indication that we're living by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. But because when we live by the Spirit, then our minds are set on the things of the Spirit. We're able to see them. We're able to hear them and to perceive them in our heart and to participate in them. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, to think in terms of this world is nothing but trouble. If you want life and peace, we've got to change our focus and begin to see what's going on spiritually around us and perceive life in terms of eternity, not in terms of 80 years. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The mind that's constantly focused on the things of the world around us is a mind that actually becomes an enemy of God, because there's no way that we can operate in the way He wants us to. We have to see and hear and perceive the spiritual things going on around us before we can do His will. A perfect example of that is the disciples. When they came to arrest Jesus that night before His crucifixion, God intended for Jesus to be arrested and to die on the cross for our sins. And you know what? If that didn't happen, that would be a terrible, horrendous thing. But all the disciples could see was the world around them. He's going to be our king. We got to fight for Him. We got to pull out our swords and fight these guys so that He can be our king. They, at that moment, were the enemies of God. They were fighting against their own salvation and ours as well. That's what happens when all we see is the physical and we miss out on the spiritual. So then, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. As long as our perspective is just on the physical world around us, there is no way, it's impossible for us to live a life that's pleasing to God. Next, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you're like, okay, you know, I can see this pulpit here. I can touch it. It's solid. It makes sense to me, right? How do I see this other world? How do I see this spiritual world that's going on around me? How do I perceive it? 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In order for us to know these things, God has placed His Holy Spirit within us. That's His job, is to show us these things. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says the things that we're teaching you are not the things of the world. It's foolishness to the world. The things that we're teaching you are spiritual things. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man, the unbeliever, cannot see these things, cannot receive them or accept them because they come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to them. And in the same way, when we're not walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in the flesh, we can't perceive these things either. They seem foolish to us. It's like, okay, whatever. This is ridiculous. It's only when we're in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is revealing the truth of these things to us do they become as real as the physical things around us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. beginning in verse 10. Paul is writing and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." So if we're going to be strong for the Lord and we're going to be powerful and His might and power is going to be shown through us, what we've got to do, verse 11, is put on the whole armor of God. We've got to, first of all, realize that there is armor, that God has given us spiritual things to fight in this battle. And then we've got to be willing to put those things on and begin to use them. So we've got to realize that they are real. We've got to perceive them, understand them, and then put them on. Use them. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So if we're going to stand against the trickery of the devil, he's very tricky and subtle. If we're going to stand up against that, we have got to be operating in the spiritual world, not in the physical world. Because that's where he operates, and that's where the real battle is going on. Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." He's saying the fight that we're fighting here now is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against the physical world around us. This battle that we're in, the one that really matters, doesn't mean that there aren't battles going on. Doesn't mean that people don't attack us physically. But the real important battle that's going on is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The real battle that's going on, the real things that God wants us to accomplish are in the spiritual world. Those are the eternal things. That's the battle that's going on around us. And in that battle, God is participating in it. The angels that are still with Him are participating in it and fighting. And you see that in scriptures, in places where when Daniel prayed, the angel was coming to answer his prayer, but he got in a fight on the way. He went through a bad neighborhood, and he got in a fight, and he delayed him for a while. But eventually another angel came and helped him, and then he got loose and came and answered Daniel's prayer. That is the sort of thing that's going on in the world around us. We must perceive that and operate in that world. Therefore, verse 13, "Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So as a result, what we need to do is we need to be operating in the spiritual world, controlled by the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him, armed by Him, seeing and hearing and perceiving the things that He wants to show us in the world around us, and then using those for His glory. There's a man whose name is R.A. Torrey. He was the first president of the Moody Bible Institute that Dwight Moody started in Chicago. And then he was Dwight Moody's successor in his evangelistic ministry. Preached to people all over the world. He's got a book called What the Bible Teaches that's got a lot of interesting things in it. And I'm going to read you a few quotes from there. He says, based on what we've just talked about, the reality that there's a physical world and there's a spiritual world, and the two come together in us. Things we do in our physical body affect the spiritual world. Things that go on in the spiritual world affect our physical bodies. And we have a responsibility to realize that they both exist and to rightly operate in both of those. He says, "We are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for life and service." If we're going to live the kind of life that God wants us to live and experience and enjoy that life as He wants us to, we have to completely depend on the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to make that happen. We have to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. But in addition to that, also our service to God is completely dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Because our service to Him has to do with a spiritual world that we can't perceive on our own. We are completely dependent upon Him to reveal it to us and then to empower us to operate in it. He also says, it is not so much what we are by nature, either intellectually, morally, spiritually, or even physically, that is important, but what the Holy Spirit can do for us and what we will let Him do. What he's saying there is, it's not so important about how smart I am, how good I speak, how much I know, how good looking I am, any of those things, how successful I've been in this world, how strong I am. None of that really matters. It's not dependent upon that. Instead, what service to God is dependent upon is, first of all, what the Holy Spirit can do for us, which is a lot, like an infinite amount. There's no limits to what He can do. So there's no problem there, right? So it's dependent upon what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing for us, and it's dependent upon what we will let Him do. It's dependent upon what we will let Him do. We've got to be willing to participate in what He wants to do. He's ready to do it and able to do it. He just needs us to be willing to participate, to allow Him to do it. He said that the Holy Spirit often takes one who gives the least natural promise and uses him beyond those that give the greatest natural promise. That's the thing that Joe often talks about, that he uses the nobodies of the world. We want to take people who are really smart and speak well and are famous or whatever and go, okay, we got to put this person in a place because they can do something for God. But you look in the scriptures and oftentimes God goes and gets somebody that's like, really? You went and got him? Why him? You know, John the Baptist is probably one of the best examples of that. Dude lives out by the creek. He wears furs. He eats weird things, right? He's eating bugs and honey. I mean, this is not the guy you would expect. But this is the guy that God says, I'm going to prepare the way for Jesus who saves the world by this guy. This is my guy, right? It's all about him. It's not about us. John the Baptist was effective because the Holy Spirit filled him. The scripture says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit more than any other person besides Jesus. He was filled from the Holy Spirit from the womb. That's amazing. That's what made the difference. He also says the Christian life is not to be lived in the realm of natural temperament, and Christian work is not to be done in the power of natural endowment. What he's saying is the Christian life isn't about this realm. When he says the word realm, it just means the world around us, all these things that we can see. It's not about that. That's not where we live that. And it's not done by the power of our natural endowments, our natural abilities. He says the Christian life is to be lived in the realm of the Spirit. That's where the good stuff is. All the things that God promised to us is in the realm of the Spirit. And Christian work is to be done in the power of the Spirit. Churches seem so powerless today. We have very little effect on our society. As a result, instead of going and looking for the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us, we turn to politics. We turn to those things that everybody signs. Petitions. We turn to petitions. We turn to all these natural, physical, worldly, physical means to try to influence our society because we can tell we're not having an influence. That's exactly the wrong way to go. We need to go to the spiritual world and get the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Then we will make a difference in this country. Then we'll affect all these other things. He says, the last quote from him, he says, the Holy Spirit is willing and eagerly desirous to do for each of us His whole work. So the Holy Spirit is willing to do all the work that He wants to do through each of us. He's willing. And it says, He is eagerly desirous. He wants that worse than anything else. That's what He wants, very badly. But He will do for each of us all that we let Him do. The limiting factor is not Him. He has all the ability. He completely desires to use us. The determining factor is how much we are willing for Him to use us. And that limitation, I think, comes from sin. That limitation comes from ignorance. And ignorance, like Joe says, just means not knowing. It comes from not knowing that this is real, not knowing that this other world exists, not perceiving it, not being taught it. But even when we say that we believe that it exists, We also limit it by our unbelief. We say, you ask us, is there a spiritual world? Yes, there's a spiritual world. Are there demons? Yes, there are demons. Are there angels? Yes, there are angels. Is there a Holy Spirit? Yes, there's a Holy Spirit. Does he live within you? The Holy Spirit lives within me. But do we really act like it? Do we put it into practice? Do we really believe it? Do we trust it? Do we trust that that is the world that we need to be participating in and the world where the difference is made? For us to be of any use to God, we must learn to perceive the spiritual world that is around us. We must. That's where the difference is made. It must become as real and pressing to us as the physical one. The spiritual world around us has to become just as real as this world. And the needs in that spiritual world has to be just as pressing on us, feel just as urgent to us as the physical needs are that we deal with every day. And until we get to that place where it's just as real and just as pressing, we won't be doing the things that God would have us to do. And then once we do that, once we realize that we perceive that it's there and it becomes real and pressing, then we need to engage in it through the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit of God to open our eyes so that we can see what He's doing. To open our ears so that we can hear what He is telling us to do. To soften our heart and cause it to perceive what He wants. And then to act on it. And when we do that, then the power of the Holy Spirit will work through us to accomplish the kinds of things that only God can accomplish. Let's close with prayer. Father, our prayer to you is simple. Show us this world, this spiritual world around us. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Cause our hearts to perceive the reality of it. And then give us the desire in our heart to obey you and to participate in it, to wrestle in it in the way that you intend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.